Industry and Jobs Committee to order for March 1st, 2010. I'd like to welcome everyone and a special welcome to those people who have served on our Minnesota Science and Technology Economic Development Project. This is a report that thanks to Senator Tomassoni for your good work in the conference committee last year, we were able to insert language that has authorized a high-caliber public-private committee to implement a study of how we really advance science and also technology in terms of our economic development in Minnesota. And the volunteers who participated in this effort are listed on page 22, 23, and 24 of your handout. And I do want to note that this did not have a fiscal note on it. We worked very hard, and that really says a lot because the people who participate in this, who came from private industry, gave many hours of time, hundreds of hours of their time to work on this project, and I think that that makes a very strong statement of how important they felt that this was. So to Senator Tomassoni, thank you so much for working to insert this into our economic development bill because it really is, to me, it was a wake-up call on what we need to do in Minnesota to take advantage of our greatest opportunities and advance them, especially in these trying economic times. It's also a very sobering report in that while it recognizes all the great things that have happened in Minnesota, it points to the trend lines. And I know that when we've had some presentations within this committee before, we've looked at some of the numbers, and we continue to say, well, look how we're doing in this area. We're still ahead of other states. But when you look at the trend lines, which really predicts the future, some of those things are not so encouraging. And so the chair of this esteemed group, Mr. Mallon, is here today. I want to thank you, Mr. Mallon, for coming today, for your leadership, and to the department, to also everyone who was on staff who followed this, to the organizations who attended the meetings that were held. It really was a wonderful effort. So, Mr. Mallon, if you would like to begin, and then at the end I would like to comment briefly on the fact that we are starting to draft some legislation in response to this and sort of give people a briefing on that. So, Mr. Mallon.
Thank you, Mrs. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dan Mallon. I'm managing director of Magna 360, a company that delivers advertising and marketing services, co-founder of the Minnesota Cup, and a serial entrepreneur. I'm here today in my capacity as co-chair of the Science and Technology Economic Development Project Committee. In the 1980s, I worked for startup companies including Apple Computer and Microsoft. I was recruited to Minnesota to join 3M. After 10 years at 3M and its spinoff Amation, my business partner, Scott Littman, and I created an internet services company that we later sold to WPP and ran for an additional 4 years. That company, Imaginet, ranked by Ad Age and Adweek in the top 10 nationally, and we had offices in 13 locations in the United States, Canada, and in England. When we left, we created the Minnesota Cup, a statewide competition that will begin its sixth year at the end of March. My partner and I have completed more than 20 transactions creating, buying, and selling companies. In addition to WPP, other acquiring companies have included Amation, Comcast, and Johnson & Johnson. Most recently, we have participated in an angel investment fund, and I sit on the boards of 6 growth companies. With that, let me begin. Minnesota once led, but now by most measures, we are losing our prominence in science and technology innovation. To quote from our report, the positive conditions that once existed for science and technology leadership, an unfettered business environment, strong venture capital funding sources, coordinated public and private support for technology industries among them, are fading against the backdrop of their own legacy, unmodified for current conditions and unsupported by a future vision and plan. The Science and Technology Committee, which met at the legislature's direction, is very concerned for several reasons. There is no consensus that a crisis exists. There is no overall strategy for industry, academia, government, all to help Minnesota regain its leadership position. And there's no permanent structure to create, fund, and monitor our performance. This is the fault of no individual, no organization or institution, but it's our collective responsibility to take action now, or we will not be able to realize the positive economic future that's within our power to create. Not to dwell on the mechanics or process, but to give a sense of how an already busy group of mostly private business people and key public sector partners did a healthy amount of work in a short period of time. Significant amounts of data collection, analysis, writing were all completed by the members of our committee. We used the deed staff to help do some data and report preparation, but clearly this report is the collective product of a very strong group of individuals, some of whom are here today. We will spend most of our time today on the conclusions, but I certainly recommend that you read the report, which you all have. Those committee members who are here are also welcome to add their perspectives and certainly will be part of any Q&A as time permits.
So perhaps we could recognize who's here today, Mr. Mallon. I know that Mr. Hauschild is here and Dr. O'Kane and Mr. Nimlis, who represents labor, and that was one of the sectors that was not in the original legislation, but I do want to thank this group for recognizing that and inviting a labor representative to be a part of this discussion.
Very good. I think.
And is anyone else?
I think
here?
That's it. Did anyone sneak in on me today? So. All right. So the legislature asked us to design, coordinate, and administer a science and technology program to maximize economic growth, promote the welfare of the people, and to create and retain jobs in our industrial base for the state of Minnesota. Quite a tall order, to say the least. With our recommendation today, we are not all the way to a full implementation of a science and technology program, but we can see a clear path to get there. In all areas you asked us to examine, we found aspects of deep concern for our future, and we need to act today to make necessary investments and changes in each one of these sectors, which I'll cover them in a moment. First, let me give you a background of who is represented by the committee. As the chairman stated, the full list is on pages 22 to 24 of the report. Dan McElroy, as deed commissioner by statute, was to lead the effort, and he asked me to serve as his co-chair. Participating on the committee are investment professionals, private businesses, trade groups, higher education, and state government. As a group, we added the union representation with the help of the AFL-CIO. My slides aren't keeping
Perfect.
Up with
Thank
me.
Thank you.
To get some assistance of organized labor who is directly involved with workforce programs. The committee met four times from October to January in public meetings, and we had many followers and attendees at each of these meetings. As time permitted, we engaged our guests in discussion to ensure the free flow of ideas. Sections of the report were drafted by subteams and circulated to the entire group before each meeting. We drew upon our own experience and data sources, many of which are included in the final report. The committee developed a list of strengths and weaknesses in each of the areas you asked us to consider, and we've developed a vision and mission. By looking at national studies, we could measure Minnesota's science and technology performance against other states and regions, see how other states have invested in science and technology, and identify possible governance and investment models for science and technology. Investment in science and technology impacts everyone, whether it's manufacturing, agriculture, or the support services. It is the engine for robust economic growth, but Minnesota is lagging. It is a decline that has snuck up on us. For instance, compared to the surrounding states, we look pretty good by most, if not all, measures, and you can look at page 28. It should be obvious, of course, that our competitors aren't only our Midwestern neighbors, but heavyweight competition in other parts of the United States and around the world. Even in a Midwestern comparative data, However, it really masks some of the deeper problems, such as the number and value of venture capital investments. Our apparent success is due to very large later-stage venture capital funding into medical technology that is one of our legacy strengths. If the data showed true, angel capital or our metrics on angel capital, our metrics would be much worse. Through the Minnesota Cup, I constantly hear from entrepreneurs about the lack of angel funding sources. Now let's get right into some of the data from the other states. It will be notable just how much Minnesota lags behind. The results of science and technology investment are astounding, and they are not self-proclaimed returns. States like Ohio, with its Third Frontier Initiative, have sought analysis by respected groups such as SRI International in the documentation of their returns. The returns in other states are sobering. Many of them don't start out with the advantages as strong as Minnesota's, but as we will demonstrate today, Minnesota is far behind other states' results, and it's starting to show up in the standard metrics of economic performance. It is important to understand these results are based on having a long-term strategy and a continued investment. The John Adams Innovation Institute in Massachusetts took a look at 10 states, including Minnesota, and they see themselves competing with Minnesota, California, Connecticut, Illinois, New Jersey, North Carolina, New York, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. It's true, some of these states are larger, but if the others see us as their competition and are benchmarking themselves against us, we better take note. And on many other measures, we are clearly behind most of them. Science and engineering graduates, engineering degrees per capita, industry R&D at universities, and federal R&D per capita. The Milken Institute reports Minnesota's rank in technology concentration and dynamism also fell from 11th in 2004 to 19th in 2008. It's another, 4 years. It's another cause for serious concern. If we look at the Twin Cities region, in many ways, the economic engine of the state and the upper Midwest, we find similar cause for alarm. The Milken Institute in Philadelphia examined life sciences clusters and performance among its prime competitors, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul, New York, Raleigh-Durham, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. The Twin Cities region ranked against our competitor metros fares badly. Life science graduates at all levels, innovation pipeline in life sciences, risk capital, and human capital. But it is only on medical technology, the sector, that we stand out. But most of that growth in the sector is the convergence of med tech with pharmaceuticals, and that's happening elsewhere. It's true Minnesota does well on household income and per capita income, even against our direct competitors, but a legacy of Fortune 500 headquarters, Forbes 100 firms, and medical device strength, while incredibly good for Minnesota, will not propel us into the future. Minnesota does great on livability standards, best places to live, family happiness, but some erosion is starting to show. For example, on the New Economy Index, knowledge-dependent, technology-based economy, as a state we have dropped off, and if that continues, can Minnesota sustain the high standard of living? It is a leading indicator of future outcomes that, again, should deeply concern us. We rank low in R&D dollars from the federal government and non-industry sources. We have no real plan to incentivize R&D business investment with policies and programs through means that other states use, such as matching funds. Later, you will see that we make the recommendation to expand the R&D tax credits to help overcome this. Our SBIR, or Small Business Innovation Research Funding, in 2008 ranked us 22nd. And we have been in the 20s among other states for the past decade. We have more than our share of patents for technology, but we do poorly building companies around them. It is well known that we have a dearth of early stage capital, even while we do well in the later stage funding and more established sectors. We need support for entrepreneurs to improve our business formation metrics, which are ranked at the bottom of the states. 40 years ago, Minnesota was home to the home of mainframe computers. The original Silicon Valley was here. We still have some remnants of that industry, but the explosive growth in computers and technology went elsewhere. In fact, high-tech manufacturing remains here due to circumstances in place then and a continued brain power and resource that continue to make them successful. A sign of our erosion, number of technology jobs is down 11% since 2001. But what are we doing to retain the growth of what we have or to attract the next generation of high-tech? Medtronic recently expanded to Texas. Surmodix expanded to Alabama. Minnesota has no incentive funding to speak of that can use the assets we have, the existing base, much less resources to attract new firms. High business tax rates and few public incentives will make it hard to restore Minnesota to the top of science and technology states. Minnesota does recognize the value of STEM, but there is no coordinated plan to use those programs to businesses and adapt to the changing needs. We are slipping in important areas like graduate degrees in science and engineering. Another manifestation of future problems, we have not attracted new technology workers through immigration as well as other states. So what does the Science and Technology Economic Development Committee propose to do about this? First, we need a permanent structure to plan and develop a strategy that will ensure it gets funded. I will provide more detail about that on the next slide. In this session, the legislature can pass major tax incentives. An angel tax investment tax credit is the top of the list. More than 20 states have it, and Minnesota is suffering without it. We must expand the R&D tax credit beyond C corporations and make it a refundable tax credit. We must create an investment program for insurance companies to invest in a venture capital, nationally known as CAPCO. On the need for the angel tax credits, the only comprehensive data for the later stage investments are based on venture capital. Minnesota does indeed need to do better in this realm, but it is not primarily where we have a problem. We have more established firms that can capture those venture funds and investors willing to provide them. Our ability to furnish early stage angel funds is hampered by the lack of a tax credit. How do we know? Ideas and businesses born in Minnesota are going to where those funds are, and one of those places is Wisconsin. We've seen a few companies in the recent news head in that direction. The Minnesota Cup this year, we had an entrant who left during the competition to gain funding in Wisconsin. No one has good information on the volume of angel capital funds in any state, but we see it from the deals we are losing. The legislature can also provide funding so that Minnesota can attract science and technology companies and keep expansion of existing firms. We have no significant tools statewide to offer to such companies. The Science and Technology Initiative is responsible for development of a plan and allocation of funds. There are two parts to this. One is a private sector commission appointed to oversee broad policy and monitor the progress. And second is an advisory board like the current Science and Technology Committee that produced its report. We request $500,000 to hire staff and consultants to prepare the full model. We ask that the legislature authorize the current committee to continue and formally add both the labor representative and include the Biobusiness Alliance. A number of specific programmatic proposals could come from the Science and Technology Initiative, such as provide research and innovation grants, create centers of excellence and innovation and encourage research parks, provide funding for capital improvements to commercialize business opportunities, invest in science and technology talent and workforce programs, and create and coordinate a new science and technology business recruitment effort. This list is far from exhaustive, and until we have developed the full model, we won't have budget recommendations to match. Our goal would be a full proposal for the next legislative session. We can't stand still while other states are investing, you know, $1 billion plus in areas where Minnesota could be very competitive. To reiterate my opening observation, in Minnesota science and technology sector, there must be a consensus. There is a crisis. Minnesota must have a plan and a strategy, and to do this requires a permanent funded structure to guide the effort. Most of the gaps and inaction occurred during the lifetimes of the people in this room. Had we acted together earlier, we might be in a different place today. And if we don't act today, what will we say to our children's generation 25 years from now? We knew that Minnesota had a science and technology problem, and we knew that there was a solution, but we chose to do nothing and rely upon our legacy investments. I thank you and encourage questions and discussion.
That was a very powerful, there were a lot of things in this presentation which I've heard before when I attended the House hearing on this, and I did attend your meetings, but hearing it every time I do hear it, it's a very sobering, and as I spoke to some people before the meeting, this is not a report that can be put on a shelf. This is a report that reflects the reality of what's happening in our state, and while all of us would like to hear good news about jobs that are growing in our state, and they are, to ignore this report, to ignore the time and effort that you have put into this and not recognize the incredible opportunities that we have to grow well-paying jobs in these sectors would be a tragedy. Yeah, so I really appreciate, again, the time that was put into this, because I can't look at anyone on this group who had any reason to mislead us as to the crisis that is before us. And certainly we all like to hear about the good things that are happening, but to ignore reality and really does not give us the opportunity to really solve the problem. So I really appreciate the effort that has put into this. Just a couple, I guess, questions here is that, was there any discussion of infrastructure that we have in place now that is working? I mean, we're looking at sort of overall, but what are some of the things that are working in terms of our efforts within the state to reach out to companies? Obviously, we've talked a lot about the Angel Investment Credit in this committee, the CAPCO program. What are some of the other things? Because it's not just money, it's environment, it's creating that encouragement, reaching out to companies. Any discussion on that, Mr. Malland?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chairman. First of all, it's not that we're doing nothing and nothing is working.
Right.
But what we don't have is any coordination of what is being done. We have regional economic development going on. We have statewide things going on. Minnesota Cup is an example of a good thing, if I say so myself, that's going on. But we need to create an environment that allows entrepreneurs to flourish, allows ideas to be funded, and allows us to leverage all of the assets, legacy and future, for the positive outcomes that we're looking for.
Very good. Yes, are there some other comments from other committee members? Or Mr. Loftus is here from DEED. If you'd like to add anything, or certainly welcome to come
we're
up.
We're afraid of the table, I think.
Yes.
Madam Chair, could I just point out, this is Mark Loftus from DEED. Commissioner McElroy was going to be here at 12:30, but he had another engagement he had to get to. But.
And I appreciate that. And first, perhaps a question from Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mellon, you suggested some program areas where the state could invest some money, additional money in research and development credit, the CAPCO program, the Angel Investor program. Have you given any thought to, I mean, the state doesn't have the revenue to do those things, so is there a preferred revenue stream that wouldn't negatively impact the business community to pay for the things you'd like to do? I mean, what's more preferable, an increase in the income tax, an increase in the sales tax, an expansion of the sales tax and some other things, but if this legislature decided we wanted to do some of the things you've suggested, what is the revenue stream that would have the least potential negative impact on the on economic growth? Any thoughts on that?
Well, the good news I can say, Senator, is we did not discuss sources of revenue. We leave that to you.
You know, Madam Chair, that I always ask people to come to my office that say they need something, how they plan to pay for it. And I think that would be a good rule for all of us, especially in these austere budget times. I'm serious. If investing money in tax credits is good jobs policy, then this legislature should look at making it a priority. But if we're going to, we have to pay for it. So I just would like to not do any in doing something that we think is going to improve the economy and add jobs. I don't want to have some unintended consequences in the way we pay for it that negate some of the headway we're trying to make.
Certainly, Senator. For the Minnesota Cup, as an example, we currently have about a $450,000 budget that we've created without any legislation. And there are ways to fund things and find things, but I do not have the budget knowledge to make any educated determination of where or what or how it should be funded. And so it would be wrong for me to assume that I have that knowledge and could direct you.
Well, Madam Chair, I mention it just because I think you could kind of look at that little menu of things and think we could spend $100 million there pretty easy. And that may be a very good idea, maybe one of the smartest things we could do coming out of this session. But we just need to figure out what would be the best way to pay for it.
And I agree with that, Senator Bach, that we do have a wish list here, and it is important for the committee to know and for the stakeholders to know in this process is that it's how do we invest in those kind of things in this economy when we are cutting? But that's where I think it is important to use our stakeholders in this broader discussion, because to invest in one area and then find out later it's had an impact on another that impacts job growth is really important. So, but we won't put you on you answer that question, Mr. Mallon, but I think that that's just, I think there have been some discussions, side comments. Mr.
The
Mallon?
The most important component here is that this is an investment with ROI. And so if we don't figure out how to do it, we'll have less tax dollars in the future to figure out what we're going to do or and the like. And so it's very important that we figure out how to nurture and grow businesses and grow our economy, because at the end of the day, that is what funds all of this and everything that we do, both personally and as a government.
Right. And Senator Bonoff has a question. Senator Bonoff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, some comments. I'll address what Senator Bach said. My thought was twofold. One, what Mr. Mallon just said, that we have to look at things from a ROI perspective. And I don't know that we have a good way of forecasting the potential revenue from a program like that. And I wish that we could somehow accrue the benefit and offset some of those expenses. I don't think that we probably can do that, but I think at some point you do have to assume that the increased tax revenue that comes from these programs does offset and help pay. And then the second thing is, I continue to be so frustrated by the governor asked the tax commission to study how to have a more favorable business climate. And that tax commission came up with some of the things that we're reviewing today, but also did propose how to pay for it. And nobody is willing to talk about how to pay for it, including the business community, who had a strong voice at that table. And that, if we refresh our memories, what they said was, you should take away the corporate income tax. You should do some other things like, what is being proposed here, get rid of upfront capital exemptions, and you should expand the sales tax on clothing in particular and other services. And so that was not done hastily. It wasn't done rashly. These people spent a long time determining how to come forward with a tax reform policy. Now Senator Boxx walking out of the room, so he doesn't have to say anything about it. But I continue to advocate for us to seriously consider the things that were put forward in that commission. And then lastly, I just want to go back to a quote that Mr. Mallon said, which I really appreciated. There is no consensus that a crisis exists. And I have also found that unbelievable. And I experienced that just in, for example, working on education policy. Last year I was working on trying to take the business services out of the individual school districts and look at delivering them regionally to save money. Because to me, we're in a crisis here and we have to look at everything. And I find just what you have said, that people really don't yet acknowledge that this is a crisis, and I think we in Minnesota are in a crisis, and we are losing businesses, and you know we ought to act like the house is on fire, so to speak. And so I appreciate you bringing this forward, and I have been supportive of the bills that Senator Saltzman's carrying, and I have another bill on Wednesday we'll be hearing that is like a one-stop shop for small businesses, an e-portal for the state, and would hope that you'd take a look at that and let me know your feedback.
Very good. And a question from Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mallon, the one slide you have here about the 30 other states that have major investments in science and technology, $6.6 billion by Ohio in activity resulting in 41,300 jobs, an 18-to-1 return on investment in Oklahoma, $45 billion return in North Carolina on $1 billion, and 51,000 jobs and $13.6 billion investment in Texas. Can I assume that all those numbers are state money, state taxpayers' dollars that were invested in these states? Do we know that? Or
I'm going to say yes. Gail, come on.
Hello, I'm Gail O'Kane from Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, and I participated on the subcommittee that researched what the different states were doing. We looked at about 30 other states. And there was, in some cases, money that private sector put up for some of these investments. But I think, I can't speak to every one of these, but I'm quite sure that all, if not the majority of it, was the state funding portion. Now, part of the way they increased the jobs was those state funds were used to leverage private dollars, but I don't believe the private dollars are included in the funding that you see there.
And so these, like the 41,300 jobs are directly related to the $6.6 billion in investment.
And the private sector investment that $681 million leveraged. And I'm sure in the case of Ohio, which has devoted $1 billion over 10 years to funding this initiative, that the 681 in this case was the state funding.
So
681
kind of
million.
The conclusion is that when we use tax dollars to create jobs, they work pretty good.
It has worked in other states. I mean, we did do a state by state analysis, and we didn't include it in the report because it was 25 pages legal size. But we did forward that to the House committee that we last heard this testimony, and we would be happy to forward that information to this committee as well. That provides the detail on governance structure, the types of programs, the ROI, et cetera, on a state by state basis.
Senator Saltzman would like to see that.
We do have that. I believe that the chair has that in his office. Senator Metzen has it, and we will make sure that it's available to anyone in the committee. But I understand we already have it in our inbox, in our email. So we'll want to check on that. Perhaps we didn't realize how compelling the information was. So that's really great. So we'll check on that and make sure that everybody has that. So. Mr. Loftus, would you like to comment? Because I do appreciate the work that you did on this, and also, you know, the commissioner, brought this group together, and I know that there was not a fiscal note, so this was something that the department did on top of its other responsibilities. So.
Madam Chair, thank you for that opportunity. Commissioner McElroy has been asked, you know, these are profound and costly recommendations potentially. And obviously, in the light of the current budget situation, we don't have a proposal for dealing with this within the administration budget. But I think it's such a landmark set of recommendations and findings that all of us, staff who've been in the bureaucracy for many years, and legislators and private sector individuals, have all been reflecting on this and realizing this is an astounding set of thoughts here, that we've built our current economy based on things 20, 30 years ago. And as Mr. Mallon said, we've not failed to do good things. Mm-hmm. As we put in the report, the back of the report has a list of capital budget recommendations related to or projects related to science and technology since 2000. It's something like $960 million since 2000 in just science and tech, chemistry labs and engineering buildings and the like. Those are all tremendous investments and help give us an advantage going forward. But there are maybe other things like centers of excellence and research capacity and new sources of leveraging private investment that we've not gotten to yet. And I think we in the department look at this report as providing the foundation for what is that next thing that we all need to work on. And if I had an answer, if Commissioner McElroy had an answer, we'd be happy to furnish that today, but obviously we don't.
Good. Well, I do want to note that we have had some meetings with Representative Mahoney and some of the members of the commission of this group to sort of look at what is the next step. And we have started drafting a bill that I just want to just put out there. We don't have a bill number. It's a starting point for discussion and really looking at how we could create. And this was in a bill initially that was introduced last year, and we plucked some of the language out to say this, but having an overall commission that has a long-term vision that does not change from administration to administration, that really brings together our academic sector, public and private sector, as well as labor, those people who are on the front line who all need to work together to do this. And coordination, as you've said, is important. So we've sort of are looking at on paper of creating a new authority, the science and also technology authority, trying to model it off of some other things and really having it focus. And we are looking at things we're doing well now and transferring them to this authority so that, again, we have the coordination. And to our finance people, Senator Tomasoni, we're looking at trying to use existing resources to fund this. We've also looked at the fact that,
Are there any existing resources?
Well, we're looking at things, Senator Tomasoni, that we're doing now and putting them maybe in a different place so that there's coordination. And also then, again, we've talked to the private sector and, we've asked them, we are doing some really good things now. Can we wait another legislative session and not start to move forward? And is there a possibility then of this authority attracting private dollars? We've done that in other cases. So looking at some things that, just to get a discussion going and really build on the programs that we're doing now that are working, but keep that discussion going. Also, tapping the people who already have served on this in this working group to be a very strong and active advisory committee under this authority, which would likely be, for example, commissioner level folks. But we're starting that discussion to look at, we don't need to do another study on a study, but what could we do to hit the ground running and keep the work of this, of these folks going forward? Because I think we're on a roll here. What can we do to really advance some of the things that are working right now? So we'll have some language to you on that, but if anyone has any ideas, we certainly would welcome them, because we do understand we're trying to work in an environment where we don't have a lot of dollars for things on our wish list. So, any other questions while everyone is here? All right. We have a meeting on Wednesday, and we have, I think, 4 or 5 bills up on Wednesday. So with that, meeting is adjourned.
We done talking?